The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Luke in the second chapter, and I'll be reading verses 22 to 35 and 39 to 40. This is the good news about Jesus. And when the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took Jesus to Jerusalem to offer him to God as commanded in God's law, which said, "Every firstborn male shall be a holy offering to God, and also to sacrifice a pair of doves or two young pigeons, prescribed in God's law. In Jerusalem at that time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy that help would come for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple, and as the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, 'God, you can now release your servant. Release me in the peace that you have promised. I have seen your salvation with my own eyes. It's now out in the open for everyone to see. A God revealing light to the non-Jewish nations of the glory for your people Israel.' Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at these words. Simeon went on to bless them too and said to Mary, Jesus' mother, 'This child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel, a figure misunderstood and contradicted, the pain of a sword thrust through you. But the rejection will force honesty, and God will reveal all who they really are.' And when they finished everything required by God and the law, they returned to Galilee and their own town, Nazareth. And there the child grew strong in body and wise in spirit, and the grace of God was on him." Let us pray. And may this new birth be an opportunity for a new year full of surprises, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is an unusual time of year. Like last week was kind of unusual, with Christmas Eve falling on a Sunday and people having to make that decision of choice. Does Christmas Eve going to church obligation include the morning service or the evening service or maybe both? How many of you were here for Sunday morning last week? Great, thank you, thank you. And how about how many were here for Sunday Eve, Christmas Eve service? Wonderful, great. We had about 55 or so, I think, and about 80, at 55 in the morning, about 80 in the evening. It was a wonderful time of recalling two different parts of the story: Advent, the fourth Sunday of Advent in the morning, and Christmas Eve in the evening. Well, now that story continues and leaps across to this first Sunday after Christmas, which, oddly, only every 11 years that this is actually the last day of the year as well. So what could be more prime time than this? You have a new year opportunity tomorrow morning when you wake up. You're going to watch the ball drop tonight. You're going to have some friends over and celebrate the end of a year. You're going to read through lots of magazine articles and news reports and other video kind of sources online, kind of recounting the highlights of 2017 and the lowlights of 2017, what we've learned and what we have yet ahead. New beginnings are also Mary and Joseph's story in our story today. And they have to run through a lot of official hoops, a lot of official rules and regulations at the birth of a child. Now, Mary and Joseph made their way from where Jesus was born in Bethlehem up to Jerusalem. And that distance isn't too far. It might have taken them maybe a 2.5-hour ride. And so they would have had a donkey, no doubt. Jesus and Mary probably would have been on the donkey, Joseph pulling the donkey. It would have been a very short car ride if they had a car. And if they wanted to ignore the regulations entirely, they might have saved themselves some time. Because the distance that they were going afterwards, they were heading back to Nazareth, and that was a really long ride. And so they obeyed the regulations, and they went to Jerusalem and presented themselves at the temple. And so we meet someone here, first time in the gospel story, we meet a guy by the name of Simeon. Imagine waiting your whole life hinged on a promise. God told me that I, in my lifetime, would see the Messiah. I would have the privilege of seeing the Messiah. I don't know why, but that's what God has told me, and I'm going to count on that. And he was already getting kind of old. But this particular day, he shows up at the temple. Now, why that day? I have no idea. Maybe he visited the temple every day. You know, we have lots of people that drive here to our cemetery to remember loved ones and sometimes to put flowers on a grave marker, sometimes to come with friends who have people buried here. Perhaps they move far away and they don't get here very often, and so they'll stop by. But Simeon was one of those people that perhaps went to the temple often to pray, to make an offering. Or perhaps this was just one of those days. He maybe hasn't been there maybe for a whole week. But he shows up, and when he goes in there, he sees Jesus. And the second that he does, he realizes that God's promise to him has been fulfilled. I have finally, at last, seen the promised Messiah. Now, what do you think Mary and Joseph were thinking? Mary and Joseph had an exhausting week. And this now, when they present Jesus at the temple, it's 8 days have gone by. So this is actually kind of literally in our story. Last week, Jesus was born. This week, they're making their way to Jerusalem. And they finally arrive. They walk in the door. They start the purification rituals that they were obliged to do. They presented two pigeons for an offering. I don't know why, the birds, but the pigeon offerings or the dove, the pigeon offerings, or what was the other option? I just forgot what that was. They are for the people that don't have a whole lot of money. And so Mary and Joseph wouldn't have had a whole lot of resources. So the pigeon offering is mentioned. That's the one they brought. It's the one that was the most the cheapest one that they could present. And so in the midst of following that particular rule, here Simeon comes up and maybe perhaps even disturbs them in the midst of all of that ritual, the language, the priest comes up, receives the offering, and all the other steps that they go through for an eight-day-old child. And Simeon says that my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. At that moment, Simeon had no doubt that this was the max moment in his life. It was the one he had been waiting for. You know, we don't have to wait for the end of our life, chronologically, to find the max moments in our life. These maximum moments are the places in our life that we can have maximum attention. So it can happen often, not just once. But it could be a time when we're particularly alert or attuned to what God is doing. It could be a time when, you know what, I've heard that story told so many times, and just today, I have not quite heard it the way that I heard it just now. It might be recalling something that has occurred perhaps months before, but now reflecting on it and giving some thought to it, it becomes what you might call, for Simeon, a max moment, something that just transforms everything that's yet to unfold. Perhaps you had some of these moments during the year in 2017. And they're not always positive moments. That is, from the outside looking in, that they're all not just joyous and wonderful balloons and cake and candy. Sometimes these moments that heighten our awareness could be the passing of a loved one. Sometimes these heightened moments can be a discouragement at work or an unfortunate situation that occurs in the neighborhood, in the family, or in school. All these kinds of things, though, work together, because when God has our attention in these max moments, amazing things can happen. That when we have maximum attention, God knows that He has our attention and can reveal things to us that we might otherwise have ignored. Well, Simeon could now be, as he says, dismissed with the blessing of God, because he has finally arrived at this max moment. And individuals have these kind of moments, but so do churches, congregations, even businesses, even teams of people that work. That when we have, people have to be ready for the moment. In other words, Simeon might have said, perhaps he had this vision or this feeling that God was going to let him see the Messiah when the Messiah showed up. He had that much faith. I know the Messiah is coming. It's going to come in my lifetime, and I'm going to see him. But he might have just forgotten about it. He might have just, oh, yeah, I guess it'll happen. Who knows? I'm not sure. But what we get from the story is that Simeon was ready to receive the news that this was the Messiah. Sometimes we're just not ready for that kind of a change. Sometimes we're just kind of ignorant to it. We just can't quite put our hand on it. We know we want something. We know we want to do something. We've made intention to do something, but we just are not following through. We just are not quite ready to take the step. Well, Simeon shows us today that when you are ready, as he was that day, that as soon as he sees Jesus, he's ready to go. You know, there's a game that Melissa and I have ended up playing almost by default called Punch Buggy. Do you remember this game? When you see a Volkswagen Beetle, you say Punch Buggy and say the color. If correct, you get to hit the person in the shoulder for being first. Now, when you're driving, it could be a little reckless. You know, it could be, whoa, off the road. So glad we saw that red Punch Buggy. But that, you kind of get aware. Now, I am lousy at this game. If you doubt, just ask Melissa. But I dare any of you riding with her, she will spot every single Volkswagen Beetle that exists. And she will see it even in a rearview mirror. She will see it around the corner through a grove of trees. She just has this sense. And honey, I know you're not going to deny this. But the idea is, you see, she somehow, although perhaps kind of silly, right? But it just keeps us going as we drive in the car. But that awareness, that anticipation, there is going to be a Volkswagen Beetle that will appear at some point down the road. And she just has a little locker in her brain, a little shelf that says, whenever you see a Volkswagen Beetle, yell out and be ready to hit the person, and rail out the color, and just hit the person in the shoulder as hard as you can and say, Punch Buggy Red, Punch Buggy Blue, Punch Buggy White. And she's just good at that. Simeon had this kind of readiness, this kind of anticipation. He set himself up. He knew that he'd see the Messiah. And we got the benefit of his blessing. The words of what that Simeon spoke are familiar, often being sung. Lots of composers have put his words to music. And it's not just because it was Simeon, or it's not just that it relates to Jesus, it's that this is the fulfillment of a life of waiting. And it's a metaphor for Israel. And this new year, it could be a metaphor for you. If we aren't anticipating a surprise, an intervention, an engagement with the God who created all things, then maybe at the end of the year, you'll say, oh, that year was kind of boring. Not much happened. I feel, you know, God's not so close, and maybe it's me that moved, but, you know, whatever, I'm just not feeling it. And that would be fine. But I wonder if we would ever arrive at that lack of readiness if we started the year in a spirit of readiness. A spirit of anticipation. Every one of us will, at some point or another, have a max moment like Simeon. And you may have many. A lot of people that walk around us, maybe neighbors that you know, could be even family members. They're kind of like the walking dead. They kind of just go through life as if nothing really blips on the radar screen very much. Or we have lots of college-age kids in our family. And so often, you know, we'll talk and we want to encourage them, Melissa and I, about their future pursuits and all of that. And we'll say, well, what is it you would like to do? I don't know. Well, what do you like to study? Not much. Is there anything that really interests you? No, not really. And you just sort of, I mean, it's almost like it's built in. But that would be an example of the opposite of a Simeon. Now, not every kid is like that. But a kid that says, you know what, Ira always liked building model airplanes growing up. Well, is that right? Yeah, and so I enrolled in the aeronautics program at the high school, the pre-thing. And then now I'm going to go to college and I'm going to study how to work on airplanes. Wow, that's awesome. And it could be just as simple as that. Let us also remember that Jesus turned the holiness codes upside down. And in a way, so did Mary. You know, during her 40 days of being ritually unclean after the birth of a child, she was not to touch anything sacred. It's just a rule. We don't do those rules anymore. Aren't many of our Jewish friends that keep the Torah rules, the regulations? They do. But that was the condition back then. That was just the expected norm. It wasn't a bad thing, a good thing. It was just the way things were. But imagine, Jesus was the holiest of all children, and she touched him every day. So Mary knew that Jesus' life was different. And going to the temple at the beginning of their new life as a family together, it's their first child for either of them. It's presenting Jesus at the temple within 8 days of his birth, meeting Simeon and fulfilling that elderly gentleman's life's vision that now they get to begin their life. And Jesus, we know, was not unfamiliar with overturning the tables in the temple. Jesus not only healed lepers, he touched lepers. There's not a disease considered more unclean. Well, dead people would be one, I suppose. You don't touch the dead, but you also didn't touch the lepers. It was just definitely not, you just do not do that. And Jesus not only healed the lepers, he touched the lepers. When Jesus healed the sight of the blind, he got his hands dirty in the mud. And he put it on the eyes. Jesus, it said, and even here Simeon kind of predicts, that there's going to be trouble, there's going to be consternation, there's going to be objection to what this child will do. And we read about it in the Gospels. That Jesus hung out with people that the religious people thought, oh, they're sinners and thieves and just the most awful people. Jesus is hanging out with them. You better not follow Jesus. He's doing everything wrong. And Jesus, even on the Sabbath, didn't show up at the temple every time, but he also spent time with the people they considered invalids. And so Jesus, in this new year, Mary and Joseph knew that Jesus' life was going to be different. They had no idea what was ahead. And I bet if they knew, they'd want to change a whole bunch of it. But they knew that max moments, being aware of God's presence, and being ready for what God has for you next. Just that attitude, that spiritual awareness of being ready for what you encounter next so that you could be fully invested and fully present and give your full self to it is how Mary and Joseph made their way. And so, at the end of their time, you know, with every new child that's born, our Jewish neighbors, you know, they say, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. You know, literally, that means blessing of the stars, celebration of the stars. And so when a Jewish person says Mazel Tov to someone else, they're saying they just hope that the blessing of the stars would fall upon this child. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Well, next week, when we celebrate Three Kings Sunday, we're going to see where the blessing of the stars led three wise men as they continued the journey of anticipating and being ready for the Messiah. The stage is set. The new year is dawning. Are you ready for the surprises ahead? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you've put us in this place at this time. So many opportunities, so many choices to make. Sometimes we just like to keep things the way they are. And yet each new day dawns. Let's just pause for a moment and consider Mary and Joseph, Jesus, and how their maximum moment, their readiness, helped Simeon fulfill his and all the days that were to follow. Yeah. As you are with us now in the conclusion of 1 year, thank you that we continue to walk forward, ready for what's ahead in the new. In Jesus' name, amen.